A very good morning to each and every one of you. What a powerful God that we have. You know, what a powerful God that we worship. Today, we want to look at a God who wants to dwell in our lives. A God who says, I am with you always till the end of the age. I think that is the confidence as each and every one of us have, right? That God is with us. At every moment of our life, at every stage of our life, at every period of our life, the presence of God is always there when we just love Him, when we seek Him, and we are always with Him. Joshua chapter 3, a very familiar passage to many of us. This is one of the final hurdles they need to cross. And they have come to that point. They have traveled for many years, and they were just waiting for this day. And so this passage teaches us, you know, that God is so faithful that not only He leads us, but He leads us into blessings in our life, my friend, to the promises that He has prepared to shower on our life. He is faithful. At the same time, I think God calls us. And He calls us for commitment. He calls us for faithfulness. And He wants us to just focus on Him. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us as we spend some time looking at His Word. Father, we thank You, Lord, once again for Your Word. We pray, God, as we look at Your Word, we pray that You'll speak to us. We just want, Lord, You to work in our lives. Help us, Lord, in our many decisions. Help us, Lord, to know that You are there and we can always call upon You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, many of you would agree with me that each and every day in our life, it's a miracle. When we get up in the morning, I believe many of us will say, Lord, thank You for this wonderful day, this new day that You have given us. Now, each and every day, you know, God does amazing things, and each and every day, it's a miracle, my friend. When you look at your human body, you know, we are just reminded how unique and how wonderful God has created us. According to human science, the human body contains trillions of cells, 78 different organs, and more than 60,000 miles of blood vessels if they stretch from end to end. Incredible! That's the way our God is. God is always wanting to do amazing things, as what Joshua was reminding them. You know, God wants to do amazing things in our life. And He's doing amazing things each and every moment. But many times, you know, we fail to recognize God's amazing things in our life. There are moments in our life you say, you know, we use words like, I'm lucky, right? I'm lucky to get the job. I'm lucky because I escaped the accident. I'm lucky because, you know, maybe this is what happened because of luck was on my side. When I was reading a quote by Albert Einstein beautifully says, he says, there are two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle. Each and every day, you know, our life is being just guided by God. God is with us. And God wants us to remember and be reminded that His presence is always with us. When we look at the passage that was just read to us, when you look behind, you know, the history of Israel, you know, God had been just working miracles after miracles in their life. They were slaved in the land of Egypt, and God graciously, miraculously, you know, set them free from oppression, from captivity, and from bondage. They have traveled. Along the journey, God provided whatever that was needed in their journey. He gave them food, He gave them shelter, you know, He protected them, He guarded His people, and He was just directing them. And now they have come to the River Jordan. They need to cross over into the Promised Land. As they were just getting ready for that crossing, it is necessary for them to be reminded of God's presence and the promises that they need to be looking forward. You know, the journey of the Israelites from the wilderness to the Promised Land, you know, it marks a great leap for them in terms of faith. They are no more nomads again, but they are going to be a nation, and they are going to fulfill God's redemptive plan. You know, God wants to do a lot of amazing things in our life. You know, there are certain Jordans that God wants us to cross. But we are not going to cross alone, because God has said, I am with you. I am with you. Joshua chapter 3, you know, God was telling that He is going to do amazing things. You know, for a moment I was asking, why did Joshua believe this? What made him to believe that God is going to do amazing things? Because he remembered his past. He remembered that God was working in his life in the past, and he knew that his God is the God of yesterday, his God is the God of today, and he's the God of tomorrow. And so they had come to an intersection. You know, even in our lives too, right? We come to a point of our life that we need to make a decision whether we want to hear the voices of this world, whether we want to follow the desires of our life, the pride of life, or whether we want to just follow, you know, what God has been speaking to us, or what God has been revealing to us through His Word, through His people. But we need to make a choice. Now, many a times it is a challenge. It's always a challenge. Can you imagine these people have been just journeying in this wilderness? Their needs have been met, but now they're faced with a big obstacle, River Jordan. Maybe some of them would have said, you know, it's better to be in our comfort zone, right? Because there is security in the past. We know what has happened, and so we can cope with it. Some might fix their sight upon the past and want to remain right where they are. They don't want to rock the boat, right? Some might have just looked at the river and be afraid to cross over. Or some might say, you know, even if we cross over, it's an unknown land, the other side. So there might be fear, anxiety. There might be even a spirit of turning back again. So it's a time of decision. You know, have you realized, even in our lives too, you know, there are sometimes, you know, there are moments in our life that God wants us to make a decision. He wants to bless us. He wants to do great and powerful things in our life. And what was the desire of the people? What was the decision of the people? We will look at this particular passage then. Firstly, when we look at the passage, I realize first three things that we will look. Firstly, you know, let God lead the way. Let God lead the way. In verse 3, Joshua is saying to the people, he's just giving orders to the people, and he says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. You are to move out from your positions and follow it when you see the Ark of the Lord moving ahead, my friend. You know, these people, if you know the history of these Israelites, in Numbers chapter 13, 40 years earlier, these people listened to the words of the 10 spies, and they did not enter the Promised Land. And so Joshua is reminding, you know, we want you to listen to God's word, obey His commands. Very interesting when you look at the word. Joshua is telling them, you know, the focus is not on the river. The focus is not on the leaders. And not even Joshua himself. But he says, you know, we need to focus on the Ark of the Covenant. That's what he says. The Ark of the Covenant was the, you know, that reveals to us the presence of God was there. He says, look at the Ark of the Covenant. In chapter 3 and 4 itself, you realize he mentions 17 times. And in chapter 3 alone, he mentions 10 times. So he is saying, God is going to lead the way. And so just follow him. Just follow the footsteps. The Ark of the Covenant, if you look at the history, you know, was with them, was in their midst. But now, the Ark of the Covenant is going to lead them. I was reading a quote by Henry Blackaby in his book called Experiencing God, where he states, we need to see what God is up to around us and then get involved in it. You know, we need to be sensitive to the movement of God in and around us and to follow. We need to be sensitive to the changes, you know, that God is bringing in terms of His direction, in terms of His guidance. God wants to lead us. God wants to go before us. But we need to be sensitive where God is leading us. Because we live in a time and age, we hear so many voices, so many ways, so many choices that are before us. But I believe in a God who speaks to us each and every moment. But whether we are sensitive to His voice, He speaks to us through His word. He speaks to us through His people. He convicts us through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. But whether we want to take His lead, whether we are willing to say, Lord, You lead the way, and I just want to follow. You know, sometimes what happens in our Christian life, we tell God, Lord, You lead, but we ignore His leading. We jump onto our wheel and start living our lives according to our desires, according to the patterns of this world. Today, I think each and every one of us, my friend, have to ask this question, is God leading? Or am I leading my life? There are many decisions that is before us. There are many things that we, you know, that we are thinking of. But God wants to lead us because this God wants to do amazing things in our life. He loves us. He cares for us, my friend. But whether we want to be led by Him. Secondly, when you look at the passage very beautifully, you know, Joshua says in verse 5, he says, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. God wants to do amazing things. Wow, so powerful about God. And he says, but you need to prepare yourself. You need to, you know, sanctify yourself. You need to consecrate yourselves. I believe the Israelites were very familiar, you know, what they need to do. They need to really, you know, wash themselves. They need to wash their clothing. If you read Exodus chapter 19, verse 10, you know, Moses told the people and they knew what to do exactly, how to consecrate themselves. Very interesting when you look at the word, he says, you know, you consecrate yourself. I think it's important for it's a personal focus on this command. It's not about others, it's about me. It starts with me. It starts with us, my friend. If you want to experience God's goodness, if you want to experience God's power in your life, it starts with us. And God wants us to consecrate ourselves. You know, there is a difference between a consecration and dedication. Right? When you look at the word dedication, you know, dedication means, you know, something that you do as an act of your will. You dedicate because you want to do it. It's an act of your will, of your desire, because this is what you want to. And so we dedicate ourselves. And that's nothing wrong about it. But consecration is, it's a different word altogether. Consecration is what you do as you prepare yourself spiritually for something which God wants to do. You prepare yourself spiritually, you get yourself ready for something that God wants to do in our life. It's like transferring ownership of your property to God Himself and, you know, and realizing that He owns everything. And he says, Lord, you intervene. You lead me. In the Old Testament, I think if you look at the many things that was in the temple, they were just consecrated, exclusive use of God. So in other words, we are saying, Lord, you're in control of my life. You have the power, right? You decide. Today, my friend, are we willing to give our lives and say, Lord, you're in charge of me? How about us today? You know, God wants to do amazing things in our life. You know, amazing thing, miraculous thing in our life. But are we ready to give ourselves wholeheartedly? And like Joshua said, you know, consecrate yourself. Just give it to Him. You know, give yourself to God and let Him do what He wants to do. And God will do wonderful things in our life. I was reading about a revival that happened in the year 1904 in Wales. It started with a 27-year-old Ivan Roberts. You know, he was burdened to pray fervently for 100,000 souls to come to Christ. It started with this young man, right? And he was just praying, and the flame of revival burned into the hearts of hundreds of people among the coal miners. And that was how, you know, the Welsh revival happened. Because of this one man who was 27 years old, and he said, Lord, let it start with me. Today, God wants to do amazing things in our life, through our life, my friend. Are we ready to give ourselves to Him? Let me conclude by looking at the third point. The third point is, let's keep walking by faith. Let's keep walking by faith. You know, when you look at the passage very carefully, God told Joshua to cross the River Jordan when it was at flood stage. You know, for a moment, can you imagine to cross the River Jordan at a flood stage, right? And God did not tell them, you know, just wait for it to subside. The river Jordan River is usually flowed 100 feet wide, and they were called to cross at the flood stage. I believe some of them would have, you know, thought, you know, why should we? We could have waited for a few more months because things are okay, things are normal. We can just wait for a few more months until the water subsides. But very interesting, God works things differently, my friend. When you look at the life of Moses, when God was leading the people through Moses, you know, when they came to the Red Sea, it was already divided and they went through the dry land. But this was different. Can you imagine they were just walking and the waters were just flowing? They were just coming near to the river and it was just flowing. I believe, you know, some of them would have been just, you know, afraid. Should we continue walking? You know, will it just open? right? Will this the waters separate for us? How deep is it going to be? Because it's an unknown. Is the current going to be strong? Is it going to be slippery? And then what's going to be on the other side? Can you imagine? But they were asked to keep walking in faith, my friend. God wants them to walk through. When you look at the passage very carefully, God, however, did not hold back the water for Israel before they put their feet in. It is only after they stepped into the water that God acted. It's only when the priests touched the water's edge, the water from the upstream stopped flowing, so that the nation can complete the journey. You know, God wants us to have faith. Wants us to have faith in Him. And faith is a deliberate commitment to God. Today, when you hear this, are we walking in faith? Maybe we do not know what is before us. It might be unknown. We do not know, you know, what kind of Jordan it is going to be. You know, the depth or the force. But when we know that God is leading, when we know that our lives, that God has control of our lives, and God just wants us to walk and to continue walking. And that's why in Isaiah 43:2, the Lord reminds by saying, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned. The flames will not consume you. Difference when we know for sure that we are just following the Lord, and He is leading, and we know that each and every moment we have given our lives to God, you know, God says, just keep on walking, because I know when to do amazing things in your life. I know when to break the bondage that may be in front of you, the challenges that may be in front of us. We need to be just keep walking. Let me conclude by sharing a story about Hudson Taylor, a great man of God, a very powerful missionary. On a one stormy night, Hudson Taylor was asked to speak, to preach in England, in a church, in a school. And so it was a very stormy night. The person who organized, you know, told Hudson Taylor not to go because it's so stormy and it's the downpour is pretty heavy. And the person said, "You, Taylor, I don't think so people will be there because of this weather, so why don't you stay back? Right? Why don't you stay back?" So Hudson Taylor replied, he said, "You know, I must go, even if there is no one but the doorkeeper. Surely the doorkeeper will be there. Even there is no other people except the doorkeeper, I will still go." And so Hudson Taylor went for the meeting, and less than a dozen people were there. It was a stormy night, but it was an unusual night. They experienced the unusual outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When you read the history, you realize that half of those present became missionaries, or even they gave their children into the mission field. And half of them became regular supporters of Hudson's mission. Hudson Taylor could have, you know, just blamed the weather. He could have questioned God. But he knew that God wanted him to go. Because he knew that his Savior was leading. He knew that his life was dedicated, that God wanted to use him in his life. And so, my friend, let God lead the way. We need to just follow. Let God sanctify us, that our lives are just ready for God to use. And let's keep walking, and let's keep walking by faith. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God that, you know, whatever things might be happening in our lives, wherever we might be in our life, let ask God to lead us and live a life that pleases Him, allowing Him to take control and just keep walking. Just keep walking. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, God, that give us a desire, give us the will, give us the faith, God, to follow you. Because not only you are the way, the truth, and the life, Father, but you are a God who wants to do amazing things in our lives, each and every moment. And so lead us, O God. Sanctify us each and every moment. And give us the boldness, the courage to keep on walking in obedience to you. In Jesus' most wonderful name we pray.